Friends, please turn to Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, this is a chapter full of gospel truths, full of wonderful realities of what God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, does for sinners. And that was given, prophesied so many years before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, which is our verse for this morning, we read these words. The Lord says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." The Lord God calls himself by three great names here. The Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, and thy Savior. And by these three names, the Lord encourages us to trust him. That's what these names are for, to know something of the Lord and to experience the realities of his names. He's encouraging us to lean upon him through these names. He's encouraging us to comfort ourselves in the knowledge of him. So in the midst of all the raging storms, in the midst of the fiery trials in the life of us sinners, God says to you and me, as you read in verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And in verse 1 he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. These things tell us of God's redemption. It tells us that God is the one who redeems us. That means he buys us as from a slave market of sin. He buys us to make us his own. It is God who pays for our release from the guilt of sin through Jesus Christ. How does he do that? Well, by making the Lord Jesus to be a substitute for us. I hope you know that you're a sinner. I hope I don't have to say to you that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that Jesus Christ was sent and he went to the cross to be punished instead of our sins. I hope you know that. But if you don't, read the Gospels again for yourself. And think about what you're hearing this morning. And if the Lord God has redeemed us, if he has purchased us, if he has called us, if we belong to him, do you have anything to fear? No, you have nothing to fear. No matter how fearful your trials may be, no matter how your circumstances may appear, those who have been redeemed and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have, God has called them by his grace and they are following the Lord, they have been snatched from this sinful world and they are now part of God's family. I hope you understand that you belong to God. And I hope you are able to rejoice in this truth and get your comfort from this. And those who belong to God are under his care. They are under his protection. They are under his sovereign power. And so in order to encourage faith in the Lord, he graciously shows himself, he reveals himself by these three distinct names. He says, "I am the Lord thy God." Who am I? What's my name? The Lord thy God. And that word, of course, Lord is in capital letters. It means the word Lord there is Jehovah. I am Jehovah thy God. I am the supreme, the almighty, the sovereign, eternal God. I am the one true and the living God of heaven and earth. That's our God. He is our God. He's created us. And he is especially our God, the God of his covenant people, the God of all who trust in him, the God of all believers. Because of what? Because he's saved us. That's why he's especially ours. Because he has put his name on us. He says that you are Christ's, you are Christians. Yes, he's the God of all men by creation because he's created us. But he's especially the God of the believer. The believer has come to know him by experience. So this is the name of that the Lord shows himself to us and makes himself known, Jehovah. And that's a very precious name. The names of God are very precious. The name of the Lord is holy. The name of God is reverent. We have to, when we come to worship God, we have to reverence him. We have to be serious about it. We have to fear him in a godly fear. We have to adore him and rejoice in his presence. This is what we read in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. Thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Or the psalmist says, holy and reverent is his name. And this name, Jehovah, the Lord, thy God, he identifies our God as the one and the only eternal, the one who is necessary, the one who is self-existent being. He has no beginning. He has no end. So when somebody says to you, well, who made God? You say, your conception of God is very human. He's not like us. He's eternal. That's how God describes himself, that who God is. So yes, if you want to make a God, then that God with small g has a beginning. You made him. But the God of the Bible, Jehovah, has no beginning, has no ending. He's eternal. In Revelation 1:4, we read of him as being the one who is and who was and who is to come. But also he's called there the Holy One of Israel. This God, Jehovah, our God, is our holiness. He's holy. He alone is holy. None of us here can say we are holy in the same way as God is holy. None of us. All of us are sinners. But God is holy. That means he's pure, that he's perfect. He's without any kind of blemish. He can't be bettered. He can't say that God has made mistakes. No. He's without sin. He's totally apart from us in that sense. He's apart from his creation. And he alone is the one who makes holy. He makes us holy. So if you want to live a righteous life, a holy life, if you want to follow the Lord, you need him in your life. Maybe those of you sitting here and you feel ashamed, you feel unclean, you feel guilty about things. Well, you need the Lord, who right now we are under his condemnation, but in Jesus Christ we are outside of his condemnation. We are no longer condemned. And so the Lord is holy. He's the one from whom we are sanctified, made holy. He makes true Christians. Christians don't make themselves. He's the one who makes Christians. He saves people. He receives people. And so apart from the Lord, you and I are without any hope. But praise God, the Lord has made a way. He identifies himself in this way. He's the Holy One of Israel. The only hope Israel had was in the Lord. And then the third thing he says is this, that his name is thy Savior. That's the words there are all noun words in the original. That's why we identify these as names of God. Thy Savior. Savior is the name of the Lord. What a wonderful name that is. Savior. Savior. The Lord is our Savior. He is our preserver. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is our deliverer. And so he again and again, he says, I am the one who has delivered you, saved you, kept you, led you. Savior. And this morning, I want us to think about the name Savior. But to think of the Lord and to see the Lord as Jehovah Jesus. Because Jesus' name means Savior. If you were to turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, you know the text very well. There was the angel sent from God, and he said to Joseph about the birth of the Son of God. And he said this, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. It's the old word Joshua, which is used here. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Savior. Jehovah, Jesus. And think on this then. Jesus Christ is Jehovah, our God, and he has come to save. That's the theme this morning. Jehovah, Jesus. We've seen various names of God thus far, and I will finish with this. But we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ as our Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, from Genesis 22. We have seen the Lord as Jehovah Rapha. The Lord will heal, from Exodus 15. We have seen the name of the Lord Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We've seen the name of the Lord Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, from Judges chapter 6. And Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd, from Psalm 23. We saw Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. And then Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, from Ezekiel 48. But now we have Jehovah Jesus, Savior, Jehovah Savior. You see, friends, with the incarnation or the birth, with the life, with the suffering, with the death, with the resurrection, with the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of these names of our God and our Savior and their messages are fulfilled in Christ. The name by which the Lord God appeared to his saints in the types, in the shadows, in the prophecies of the Old Testament is Jehovah. And the name which our Lord assumed when he came into this earth and when he walked as a man is Jesus. The name of the God-man who is our Savior is Jehovah Jesus. Or as the New Testament puts it, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And he is the Christ. And there are three things I want to say, brief things. First of all, Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is Jehovah. Secondly, Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. And thirdly, all who trust Jehovah Jesus are saved. So very basic things, simple things. First of all, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is Jehovah. He is Jehovah. That's the first thing that I want you to think about, that from the scriptures, that Jesus Christ, he is Jehovah. It's something that is denied by many today. They say that Jesus Christ is not God, but the scripture claims him to be God. He himself demonstrated himself to be God. Friends, the Bible shows us that there is only one God, yet in three persons. We must worship. If you are to worship God truly, you must worship a Trinitarian God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three distinct persons. You can identify them. They have different attributes, they have different qualities, functions, we could say. But the three divine persons are one God. So we don't worship three gods, we worship one God in three persons. Now, can you understand it? No. But it's what God has revealed in the scriptures. John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Father is God, the Word, which is another title of Jesus Christ, the Son of God is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Yet they are not three gods, but one. And this eternal Godhead, in all the fullness of the divine beings, is shown to us, is revealed by and forever. He dwells in the body of that man whose name is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. So when a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, when somebody comes and denies the Godhead of Jesus Christ, you quote him from Colossians 2 and verse 9. And many other passages that I will mention this morning. It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily." You can quote John chapter 1, that the Word was God. So this is what we are saying, that the triune God reveals himself to you this morning from the Scriptures. He deals with you. And he is known by you only in the person of that one who is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The one who came and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this man, Jesus Christ, is himself God. He is Jehovah, the eternal God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and verses 4 and 8, you have these truths. John there, he writes to the seven churches which are in Asia, and he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come." And then he says in verse 8, this is the Lord, he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord." And yet it's Jesus talking. "Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Jesus refers to himself as the Almighty. And this is the wondrous mystery of the incarnation, that God was manifest in the flesh. It's a fundamental truth of Christianity, dear friends. Jesus is really and truly God, as much God as though he were not a man, and he is really and truly man, as much man as though he were not God. And indeed, he must be both God and man in one person, one glorious person, or he couldn't be our Savior. If you're looking for a Savior in a man, you won't find that. And if you simply want to find salvation in God, God must come to you in a person of his Son, dear friends. Someone had said this, "God could not suffer, and man could not satisfy. But the God-man both suffered and satisfied." And that is so true. God could not suffer and man could not satisfy, but the God-man both suffered and satisfied. So Jehovah Jesus bridges that gulf, that gap between God and man. So our Savior is God. And so he is able to save. He's also man, therefore he has compassion on people. So he's called the Savior, thy Savior. God who has spoken to those in the past, to our fathers, the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 1, by prophets, by different ways, the Lord spoke. But now he speaks to us through his Son as he's revealed in the Bible. He's God over all, the apostle says, blessed forever. He's man as well, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He feels for us. So this morning, you are here and you have confusions in your mind. You have all kinds of burdens. You have all kinds of sins, all kinds of temptations. And my friends, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, the scripture says. You may feel lonely. Christ was also lonely in the sense that he was often by himself. He was in the garden alone. The disciples were sleeping. Every man forsook him when he was on the cross. He was left isolated. Even the Father forsook him. He was scorned. Maybe people laugh at you. Maybe people mock you. Maybe people bully you. Well, Christ experienced that. He was betrayed by his friends. He saw sicknesses. He himself became weak. He became hungry. He became thirsty. He sorrowed and he shed tears. He saw the sins of others. He saw the sicknesses of others. He healed them. He saw death and he died himself. And he dealt with that too. So whatever it is that touches you, it has touched him. He knows what you feel. He knows the pain that crushes your heart, which no one else can understand. So what are your troubles? What are your sorrows? What are your burdens? Oh, my friends, open it up to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer, to Jehovah Jesus. He is a friend who understands and a God who is able to help. The second thing is this. Jehovah Jesus came to save his people from their sins. He's called thy Savior. Thy Savior. Not just anyone's Savior, it's the sinner's Savior. And he's come, as it says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will actually save. He's not some sort of an abstract Savior, but he's a personal Savior. The angel didn't say he shall reward his people for their righteousness. No, he will reward people because they've been good people. No, he didn't say he shall save his people from becoming sinners. No, he says he shall save his people from their sins. And that connecting link between Christ and believing sinners, those who are his true disciples, is not their goodness. It's not because I'm good. That doesn't connect me to God. But what connects me is my sin. What is the connecting thing is that this man, Jesus Christ, he receives sinners. You see, friends, Christ didn't give himself for our righteousness. He didn't give because we were good. He wasn't dying for his friends. He was dying for his enemies. That's the amazing grace of God. That's the amazing love of God. Can you understand it? He was dying for his enemies. It would be as if there is a war going on. And you can think about it. Pictures of wars are on your mind. I'm sure you've seen some pictures. Imagine the enemy soldiers die for the opposite. They give themselves. They sacrifice themselves to save the enemy soldiers. To save the very people who want to kill them. Who would share their food with them. Who would take a drink to them. Who would love them. And who would be willing to be sacrificed for them. Who would do such a thing? No one would do such a thing. But Jesus Christ has done that for us. Had we never sinned, then we would never have needed a Savior. Had we never sinned, the name Jesus would never have been heard. Spurgeon, that great preacher in London, he said this, "The first link between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. Not my merit, but my misery. Not my standing, but my falling. Not my riches, but my need." And friends, our Lord comes to us and not to admire the beauty of man, but he comes to remove the deformity of man. He's not coming here to pat us on the back. As many preachers, they preach in a way that we are so good people. And God is there just to advance us and for us to be made prosperous and such things. God doesn't come to do that. He comes with his pure word of justice. But he sends us Jesus Christ to die for those sins. He's come to remove sin and take us away from sin and deal with our sin. So, friends, when you think about the scriptures, you must think that every promise of God in the gospel is made to sinners. He's thy Savior. And he's our Savior if we were to own and acknowledge our sins. And then it is that we become his saved people, and he becomes our Savior when we obtain the mercy of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, be sure that you understand this part of what the name of the Lord Jesus is, Jehovah Savior. Savior, he should save his people from their sins. And this is not a faint wish. It is not a hopeful desire saying, I'm hoping I will save some people. This is a divine prophecy that he will save, he shall save his people from their sins. Every single one of them, none of them will be lost. Jesus Christ's mission was not a failed mission. Jesus is a name fully justified by the facts. Many children are given great names. And we try before the children are born to look up and see that well, I want my child to be called this name. And yet they don't fulfill that name. And yet Jesus' name is so true, and he lived it out. And he still lives it out. He lives up to his name. Many people fake Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ has lived up to his name. He has and he will save his people from the penalty of sin by his own blood that atones for our sins. He's saving his people from the reigning power of sin by his grace, by his power. So if you're a child of God, the Lord is not going to leave you to your own devices. The Lord will help you. The Lord will provide for you. Look to him this morning. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your own sins. Look to him. Follow him. Obey him. The Lord Jesus shall save his people from the being of sin by his glorious advent, by his glorious coming. He will take us one day to be with him, which is far better, in a land where their sin no longer dwells. Jehovah Jesus. And finally, all who trust Jehovah Jesus are saved. And that's a glorious thing. Every one of us, if we were to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in him and turn away from sin and admit of our guilt and repent truly and feel it, And run to him for salvation and humble ourselves, he will save. See, this is what we read in John chapter 3, those famous words. In John 3 and verse 14, the Lord said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that what we read in the book of Numbers, that while the children of Israel were being affected by those serpents who were coming and they were biting them and they were dying, the Lord commanded Moses to make a bronze brazen serpent. And people who looked to that serpent, they were saved as they trusted, looked towards it even. They were saved from the bitings of the serpents. And the Lord says the same thing. He says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up like that serpent, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And friends, some of you here have lived through years, maybe without Christ. And years have come and they have gone. The harvests come and harvests go. They have passed. The summer comes and summer goes. The spring has come. And the spring passes and these things end. And you're not yet saved. Will you perish forever? So this morning, you may not know the answers to many things, but this morning, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him now. Right where you are, you can trust him. And if you only trust him, Jehovah Jesus will save you from your sins. He saves you from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, my friends, and he will keep you. And so you may feel very weak this morning, and sin makes us weak. You may feel very guilty this morning, and it is because of sin that we are guilty. But the Lord will care for the weakest of sinners who trust in him. There's a story of a swallow, that little bird who built its nest on the tent of King Charles V when he was camping with his soldiers. And he felt so much for this little bird. They were trying to pull down the tent and to go. And he felt so much for this little bird that made a nest. And if you know swallows, they use their spittle and they put things. They don't use twigs and so on. They use the spittle and mud, and they make their nest somewhere, and it won't just fall down. You have to break it down. And that's what the king saw, and his heart melted. He said, no, don't pull down the tent, because there is a swallow with his chicks. Wait till the chicks have flown away. And so the soldiers couldn't understand it, but the tent had to be left up for months to come. And you think about that. When I read that, I thought to myself, well, how gracious our God is. If a king like that could be touched by a little bird nesting in his tent, how much more our God? A king who can be so harsh, and yet he has a feeling for a swallow. How gracious God is, who does not deal with us according to our sins. My friends, know for sure that God has a great love to those people who are trembling, who will run to him for shelter, sheltering under God's royal court, as it were, the court of heaven, those who pray in repentance and faith. And so any one of you might say, well, I am so feeble, I'm so small, I'm so young, I'm too old, I have weathered too many storms, I have many doubts and fears, whoever you are, if you just find a little place and make a nest for yourself in the promises of God and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners such as us, and you build your nest on God's divine promise, then you will find that your soul will abide and remain until you fly away to the land of heaven. And that's the land of promises. That's where the promises of God finish, and they end with fulfillment of those promises. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, the Lord says in verse 1. O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Redeemer. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God, Jehovah. Jehovah Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And my friends, all who trust in Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, they are saved. So, dear friends, see the love and see the justice of God and see the awfulness of your sins, but see the love of Jesus Christ and how he sacrificed himself for our sins. This is the amazing grace of God. This is the love of God for wretched sinners like you and me. May God write his word upon our hearts.